Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the top of Daf Kuf Gimel. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin at one of the special features of the marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer. That's the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and you see the nosei, a topic heading, and it reads Maskir, a renter. That means an owner of property that rents out his property. Shekosav Shtar Schirus, that wrote a contract of a rental contract, Le'eser Shonim, for 10 years. V'lo Kosav Bo Ta'arich, and no date was written in the Shtar. In other words, the Shtar, the contract, stated that this is a 10-year rental agreement, but no date, starting point, was recorded. V'acharkach habalabayis bovetoyin lasocher, and then the owner comes and claims from the renter shikvar hoyabo heishanim. You've been living here already 5 years. In other words, in another 5 years, the contract is over, and you'll have to leave. Now the Gemara. Omar Rova. Omar Rav Nachman, Hai man de oiger le beiso lechavrei. Rava quotes Rav Nachman saying that one who rents a house to his friend liyaser shanim for 10 years, v'kosav le shtora, and he wrote a contract. The owner wrote a contract that I'm renting this house for 10 years, but he didn't write a date in it. V'yomar le, and then he claims nikitas chomei shanim. You have been here for 5 years. Mehemon, the owner, is believed. Rashi adds that in their disagreement, the owner is saying, you've been here for 5 years, and the renter is saying, no, I haven't been here for 5 years, I've been here only for 3 years, I have another 7 years, not five like you claim. So the Balabayas is believed because he has a cheskas karka. He has, as we spoke of in our previous shiur, in our Daf Kuf Beis Gemara Markings audio shiurim, we saw this concept of an owner having an added strength in a disagreement based on the fact that the given status of ownership, the chazoka, is in his favor. Omar le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina. Elo me'ata. Well, based on this, Oisve Meazuzi Vishtara, a person loaned a borrower 100 zuz. Zuz is a denomination of currency, you could say $100, and it was recorded in a document. Viyamale, and the borrower says, Paratich Palga, well, I've paid you half. Hochinami de Mehemon, are you going to say likewise that he is believed? Omar Le. So Ravina responded, Hochi Hashta, how can you compare the case of a shtar, a contract of a loan, to a rental contract? Hosam, in a shtar halva, in a document indicating a loan was extended, shtar leguvaina koi, its purpose is for guvaina. Guvaina means for collection purposes. Im Isa de Pare, if it were so that he had paid up what he claimed, that he said he paid up half, if that were so, Iboyale le Michtivo Agabe, then that should have been written within the shtar, within the contract, or the loan contract. Inami Michtav le Tavra. Alternatively, there should have been a receipt that was written. That, in other words, this borrower who claims he paid up half should have a receipt that he had paid up half. But in the absence of either one of those, his claim of I paid up half is nothing. Avol hocha, in the case of a rental agreement, Omar Lay, the owner, says, Hai deksivi loch shtar, that which I wrote a contract, ki hechi delo techsik ale, so that you shouldn't at some point claim that you bought the house. So we wrote up this contract whereby it declares that your presence here is only one of a renter, not an owner. Rashi across says delo techsakbo delo tema lekucha hi biodi, that you shouldn't be able to claim that you bought it. Velo shetucha livoa esther shanim lolam, nor that you should be able to always make a claim of 10 years. So with this distinction in mind, we understand that in the case of a rental agreement with a shtar and no date is written in, the owner, he will be believed because of his chazokas, his given status of ownership of property. In the case of a loan agreement that was recorded, the borrower is not going to be believed when he claims that he paid up half of it, in the absence of course, a receipt or some recording within the loan agreement. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that there is a new trend of thought on the side of our Gemara. Once again, in the margin, the nosei, the topic heading, which reads as follows. We have a phrase, Shoyel Odom Betuvo Le'olam. Shoyel has to do with borrowing. Matzev, this reflects a situation, Shoyodom Yochol Lachzor V'lishol Chefetz, that a person can repeatedly borrow an item, Beli Levakish Rishus Kolpam, without requesting each time permission anew. This is a very common situation, and I would like to, I believe that it's also a commonly misunderstood situation. And this deals with the case of someone having borrowed an item and wants to borrow it again. Can he simply take it without requesting permission again? And you'll see from this Gemara that that's not to be assumed, unless you have specific instructions or permission that express that ability. The Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, Shoyel Odom Betuvo Le'olam. We look at Rashi across from here, more or less. Shoyel Odom Betuvo Le'olam. Im Ra'a Odom Kli L'Chavero V'Omar. And if a person saw that a friend of his had a particular utensil, V'Omar Hashileni Betuvo, and he said, he used that expression, loan it to me, Hashileni Betuvo. V'Omar Le'Hein. And the owner says, okay, Sho'ul lo le'olam, kozman shuroi le'melacha. That expression indicates that he has now open permission to borrow it whenever, as long as it's fit for use. To hide betuvo, that word, betuvo, mashmalon, it conveys the following idea, kozman shuhu toiv, as long as it, the item, is good. Afilu machziro, even if in the interim the borrower returned it, chozer v'not lo kishyitzdarech, he can take it again whenever he wants. Now we continue in the Gemara. You'll see that we have an aleph and then a beis, or two stages of commentary here. Omer of Mori bra debas Shmuel v'hu dekoni minei. The right to constantly borrow and re-borrow the item is provided the borrower and the owner made some type of kinyan. A kinyan is a type of gesture. Generally speaking, we talk about a kinyan in terms of a transfer of ownership of something, but it's not limited to that. It's a gesture that confirms whatever agreement is being made. Avolo koni. If he doesn't do that, if he doesn't make the kinyan gesture, mechia hadre, as soon as the borrower returns, the kolsa kinya de meshicha rishana, that his first drawing of it, which enabled him to borrow it, ends. The term kinyan often refers to, as I said, a type of gesture. Maybe you're familiar with the exchange of a handkerchief, or, in fact, it's not limited to that, but any item would constitute a kinyan. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar of Mori Brei de Rav Ashi Umahader Le Kate. If in the course of the use of the item, constant use, constant borrowing of the item gets worn out, and it reaches a point that it's no longer fit. Let's imagine for a moment that borrowing a knife or an axe, and in the course of time, the blade gets worn out, and all that's really left is the handle. That's kate. Kate means its handle. So that there is an understanding that even though you had a right to borrow it, once it reaches the point that it's not useful anymore, that which remains you are to return to the owner. It's not to be taken by the borrower as some kind of gift. Not so. Once again, Rashi adds that the agreement was betuvo. As long as the item was goods, so you can borrow it. Once it reaches this point of depreciation, of erosion, it's no longer betuvo, it's no longer good. So the agreement ends and he returns that which is left, returns it to the owner. Omar Rova. Haiman de Omar Le Lechavrei. Before we go further, first of all, we should have pointed out, you see the slash mark indicating this is a new trend of thought. And also, we have triangles that appear and double underlines as well on the side of the Gemara. We have our Nosei topic heading combined with the Mivneh, the structural note, in one notation. The triangle represents or highlights the word Oshlon. Hevdele Shimush Bahashala. You'll see different uses in the context of Hashala, borrowing. Biglal Nusuch Hasheila. Differences that arise because of the text, the language of the borrowing. We have a different kind of double underlining, you see, with dots between them. Rishima Shnia Shel Nuschos. It's a second list of versions of language, of text. Now, the Gemara. Once again, Omar Rava, Haiman di Omar Le Lechavrei. One said to his friend, Oishlun Mora Le Mirpak Bey, would you loan to me your mora, we'll call it a gardening implement, something like a hoe. Loan me your hoe. Le Mirpak Bey is to till the soil. Now, here, note the language. Hai Pardisa. Note that in contrast, skip up to the next line, just skip down to the next line, number two. Pardesa. Number three, the next line, pardesoi, pardesi. Each number introduces a different nuance in language. So in the first case, he says, loan me your hoe, because I want to till high pardesa, this orchard. What does that allow him? Rafik bay hahu pardesa. So the borrower can use it for tilling that orchard. Not another one. He specified an orchard. However, if he says, loan me your hoe, because I want to mirpak bay, I want to till pardesa, then rofek bay, call pardesa the boy. Then the borrower can use it for any specific pardes that he wants. He didn't specify in the borrowing which one. So he can use it for any which one he wants. Now, Rashi points out, and I think it's obvious, he can use it to till a singular parties, but whichever one he wants. That's what Rashi says, Rofik Bey Chad Pardisa. Now, if he says in the language of his borrowing, he says, Par De Sai. Par de sai is in the plural form. I want to borrow your hoe for tilling my orchards. Rofik velzu kol par de sai, the is lay. He can hoe till all of his orchards that he has. Umahadele kate. At the end, let's assume that it gets eroded to the point that it's not useful anymore, he returns the handle to the owner. So there we had three stages or three different languages of borrowing presented by Rava. Now, Omar Rav Papa. Hai man de Omar Leila Chavrei, Oshlon, he says, loan to me, Hai Gargusa. Now, a Gargusa is a live spring that obviously produces water, and you're interested in using someone's live spring for watering fields. So, someone who borrowed a spring, Vinofla, and the walls of the well fell in. Lo boni la. There's no expectation of it being rebuilt. We look in the Rashi, lo boni la, just a couple lines down from here. Im bo livnos velomar od sheol li lo ilam. If the borrower were to come and rebuild the walls of this well, claiming that it's been loaned to me forever on an ongoing basis, ma'ake v'lov v'omer, the owner can respond and say, lo hishaltich ela oisoi, I loan to you only that one, velo kishinasa acher, not when it's made into something else. In other words, the rebuilding of it would represent it being made into a new thing, something that I didn't originally loan to you. Now, that, again, here notice in our markings, we dashed on the word hai, the word hai, this well. So would you loan me this well? And if it fell in, so then, lo boni la, it cannot be, the borrower cannot insist on rebuilding it. However, if the loan agreement was, loan me gargusa, a well, vinofla, and the walls fell in, boni la. And Rashi says, boni la vare hi shula lo ad shiashki kol sodosav, and it's in loan to him until he waters all of his fields. Now, another example, he says, loan to me Bay Gargusa. Bay Gargusa refers to loan to me a location wherein I could dig to seek water, subterranean water. So that I have fields that I need watering. Someone else has a piece of property that might have underneath its surface a water source. So I'm asking him to loan me that property for the purpose of revealing a source of water. So now, if that's the agreement, loan to me Bay Gargusa, what's the result? Kori Vyazo, Kori means to dig. Vyazo, and continue digging. Kamo Gargusi Ba'are Ad De Misrami Le. He's entitled to dig and dig and dig. If he doesn't find water over here, he digs somewhere else within that property until he finds a suitable source of water. Vitzorech lemikni minei. Rashi points out that at the outset there would have had to be a kinyan. If there was no kinyan, if there was no gesture made, then this whole interaction between the two parties is considered mere talk. Dibura bi'alma. And the owner could back out. Once they make a kinyan, so then it's understood that the borrower can continue using it, can digging to find a source of water, and the owner would have to allow him to do so. The Mishnah. Before we begin the text, we glance once again at the side, and we have an Osei topic heading. Hamaskir bayis l'chavero v'nofala bayis. Someone rented a house to a customer, to a tenant, and it fell in. Hamaskir chayv lahamid lo bayis shedomeh lo rishon dafka. The owner is required to restore, rebuild, or a house that is similar specifically to that which he rented initially, that he rented out. The Mishnah. Hamaskir bayis lahaver v'nofal. Someone rented a house to a tenant, and it fell in. Chayav Lahamid Lo Bayis. He is expected to replace, to provide for him a house for that rental period. Haya Katan Lo Yasenu Gadol. If the original facility was katan, was small, that which he replaces, it shall not be big. And likewise, the opposite, Gadol, if the rental facility was originally large, Lo Yasenu Katan, shall not make it now small. When we speak about make it, it's clear from the context that we're talking about his rebuilding something for the benefit of the tenant. Echad, if the original facility was a single dwelling, Lo Yasenu Shnayim, he shall not make it into a double dwelling. Shnayim Lo Yasenu Echad, and likewise the opposite. Lo Yivchos Min Achalonos, he shall not, when replacing the facility, not provide less windows, Velo Yosef Alehem, nor add to the original number of windows, Elam Yidashem, unless there's mutual agreement. Heichi Domi. We want to now understand what are the circumstances of the Mishnah. The Mishnah presented a very limited, scope of behavior on the part of the owner. The marking that you see, the trapezoid or volcano shape, is introduced on the side under the mivneh, the structural note. These represent chipus, a search, achar hanusuch haskora, the language of the original rental, shegeremes es hagbolo shishoni b'mishnah seinu, that causes the restriction as taught in the Mishnah. So we ask, hey chidomi, what are the circumstances that concerning which the Mishnah is speaking? E di omar le bayis zeh, if the original agreement was, I'm renting to you this house. Nofal, if it falls in, ozale, it's gone. There's no additional requirement or expectation on the part of the owner. E di omar le bayis stam, if the agreement was, I'm going to rent to you a house, if it was a single dwelling, why can he not make it into two? If it was small, why can he not replace it with a large one? Omar Reish Lakish, the Omar Lay, the understanding was, or the agreement, the nusach, language of the original agreement, Bayis Shani Maski Loch, Midas Orkoi Kach Vekach. The house that I am renting to you, its dimensions of length are thus and thus. So the owner delineated in no uncertain terms what he was renting. If that's the case, then what do I need a Mishnah to tell me? The obvious. If you stated the dimensions of that which you were renting, and it and now it comes to replacing it, you have to replace according to those dimensions. Ella, he also, Ravin Amar Reish Lakish. Now, Ravin, when he came, he presented his version of Reish Lakish. Di Amar Le, Bayis Kozeh Ani Maskir Loch. He says, I'm renting a house like this. Fakati Mailim Emra. He said, like this, it's still fairly obvious that if you're going to have to replace it, you have to replace according to what the original one was. Lo tzricha. Now, what Reish Lakish is teaching us is necessary in a case as follows. The original house was a house that was built on the banks of a river. And the owner said, I am renting you a house like this. Mahu detemo. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought, my kozeh, dekoy aguda denaro, if a person said, I'm renting a house to you like this, and it happened to be one standing on the banks of the river, when replacement time comes, all that he would be required to do is provide another house on the banks of a river. But as far as dimensions are concerned, other details, not necessarily a replication. Komash Malon, the Mishnah reveals to us that when you say kozeh, it's not merely the location that you have to duplicate, but all of the other details, the dimensions and other features must be replicated. Not more, not less. And you can see that with the help of the one above, we've completed Perek HaShel, the eighth Perek, and now continue to the ninth Perek of Bava Metzia, Perek HaMekabel. HaMekabel Soda Mechavero, one who literally receives a field from his friend. We're speaking about a worker who is granted the rights to cultivate someone's field. There are two major or primary work arrangements that we will be referring to in the course of the Perek. One is referred to by the term arisus, or you'll also see the use of the word kablonus along the way. That's in English referred to as a sharecropper, and the arrangement there, and we've mentioned this in the past, is a percentage division of produce. Rashi talks in terms of half, each one gets 50%, or a third, or a quarter. There's another arrangement called chakirus. Chakirus is where the chocher, we'll call him the worker, he agrees to provide a fixed amount of produce, regardless of what is actually produced in the field. So you can have a situation where the field doesn't yield any produce, it lays barren, and the worker must provide the fixed amount, the objective quantity that they agreed upon initially. And naturally, if the field that he is working on produces some type of bounty crop, that is not going to change the amount that the chocher must provide to the machkir, the owner of the field. Throughout the Perek, and Rashi makes this point at the very beginning, there are different Mishnayos. Some of them apply to an Oris. Some of them apply to the Chocher. There will be occasions where both arrangements are applicable. We've attempted in our marked Gemaras to highlight this phenomenon in the Rashi text. And if you glance at the Rashi immediately, you can see at the lower part of the page, HaMekabel, O be Arisus, it might be the Oris arrangement, Lemechsus Yishruvia, where there's a percentage agreement of dividing the harvest between owner and worker, O be Chakirus, Bekach Kurim Lashana. That's Bekach, Bekach means an established amount, either this amount or that amount that they agree upon per year. And we have a note, L'Orech HaPerek, there's a starred note that we've included in the margin. Through the length of this chapter, Rashi Masbir Eze Dinim Shaychim L'Oris V'Eze L'Choker, which laws are applicable to an Oris and which to a Choker. L'Shem Kach, with this in mind, Ivlatnu, we've highlighted the Kudus Elai De Simun Zeh, through this double underline that we feature here. This will be highlighted in the Rashis as we go through the Perek. Ayin Gemara Reish Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. If you look at the Gemara at the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi Shom, Diru Mas Mikan Velech, in Rashi, where the beginning words are Mikan Velech, Rashi says, Kol Achas Afarshena B'Mekom, over there on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi on the second narrow line, indicates that he will explain each one in its respective place. That's coming on the heels of the Gemara that you'll see there at the top of Kuf Dalet Omed Aleph. Now we go back to the Mishnah. Let's go to the text, the Mishnah, beginning of the ninth parak. HaMekabel Soda Mechavero, one who receives a field from his friend, from an owner, Mokom Shenagu Liksor Yitzar, where the minig is that the worker shall harvest, so he harvests. Now harvesting is a method of we'll say cutting the grains. Let's speak about grains for the time being, where you would use a scythe and cut the grains, leaving the bottom of the grain still attached to the ground. Now that's in contrast, la'akor, if the practice of the worker is to uproot, then ya'akor. That's, as the word indicates, uprooting from underneath the ground as well. Lachrosh achrov ya'akor, if the practice there is that the worker will be expected to plow after the harvest, to turn over the soil, exposing any roots so that they will die, then he has to do so. Hakol kaminig hamedina. Here we have an expression that indicates that there's something beyond that which appears in the text of the Mishnah. After all, the Mishnah began by saying mokom shenoagu liksa yuksa. It was already established that if the practice is to do something, you're expected to do it. Now you're adding, well, everything is according to the practice of the Medina, that locale. But tomorrow we'll have to deal with what does that phrase come to add. Kishem shechokin betuah kachokin betevenu bekash. Just as they divide the actual grains, they also divide the teven and kash. Teven and kash have to do with, well, straw and stubble. But specifically, you can see the Tosfos explains that the word teven is a reference to that which is attached to the top of the grain. Whereas you have the top of the grain and then the stalk that comes immediately underneath it. And if you're going to use a scythe to cut the grains, then the teven will come with the grains. And the kash is that which remains in the ground. The Mishnah indicates that just like there is division of the actual grains, there is division of the tevin and kash as well. Kishem shechokin b'yayin, just like there is division of the wine, in the case of a vineyard where grapes are produced and wine is produced. Kach chokin, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, bizmeros uvekonim. So too there is division of the branches. When the vines are pruned, so there's branches are cut off, those are divided between owner and worker, and the kunim. The kunim, the Gemara will explain. At this point, we can tell you the explanation, but bear in mind when we get to it in the Gemara, then we'll ask, what do you mean by kunim? Because kunim means reeds. And so one might ask, what do reeds have to do with a vineyard? So the Gemara will explain that kunim are a reference to reeds or poles that upon which we support the vines. What's the support reeds? Ushneim misapkin es hakonim, and both the owner and the worker are expected to provide the konim every year. There's the need to replace these konim, so they are expected to produce to jointly supply the konim. Rashi on the second line from the top says Ushneim misapkin es hakonim hachadoshim, the new ones b'chol shana. The new ones every year. She'ein ala oris ela lavod v'lishmar. The oris, the worker is expected only to work and to guard. Aval shar dvarim, but other things al shneim are upon both owner and worker. The seifa de masnisin, the end of the Mishnah leisa elo bekablonis. It has relevance only to the case of kablonis, we said is the sharecropper, the oris. Kablonis and arisus are interchangeable terms. T'i b'chachronus, because if you were dealing with the issue of a chocher, lo shaycha chaluka, the concept of division has no relevance. What was the chocher's agreement? The chocher is the worker that agrees to provide a fixed amount of produce to the owner. The issue of fixed amount is unrelated to the concept of division of. Now we turn to the Gemara, and before we read the text, we glance at the side where we have our nosei, our topic heading, which reads Poyel ubalabayis, a worker and an owner, echad eino yochol lachriach es hasheni, one cannot force the other, l'shanois min haminog, to change from the common practice, kegoin im nohug liktzor, if the common practice is to harvest, e efshur lahachriach lakor. Now we mentioned liktzor is not just as the English word harvest implies, but more than that, or maybe less than that. It's a cutting of the grains above the surface of the ground, as opposed to uprooting. So if the common practice was Liktzor, was to harvest in that fashion, where you're cutting the harvest above surface of the ground, then the EF Shulach Riach Lakor, then he cannot force the other party to uproot. The Fomim Apoel Hu Ma'akev, the Fomim Abalabayas Ma'akev. Sometimes it's the owner that's insistent, and sometimes it's the worker that's insistent. And the Gemara will spell all of that out. Now the Gemara, Tana. We have a Tanaic source that teaches Mokim Shinagu Liktzor Eino Rashoi Lakor. If the practice is to do the Ketzira method, then he is not entitled to do the uprooting method. Lakor, if the practice is to the uprooting method, then Eino Rashoi Liktzor. Then he is not entitled to do the harvesting, the Ketzira method. Ushnehem Me'akvin ze al ze. And both parties, worker and balabayas, can be restricting one upon the other. And now we go over these points. Now, structurally, I hope you noticed that we had an aleph and beis in the source. And as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of those letters again. Liktzor, and two lines underneath, Lakor. However, within each letter, the Aleph, you'll notice there follows on the next line 1 and 2. That means within each case, within each method of cutting or harvesting, within each method, you'll have the possibility of the owner issuing his objection to change, and you'll have an example of the worker expressing his objection to change. And when we speak about change, obviously we're talking about a situation where there's an established practice and the other party wants to change from the established practice. Now the Gemara. Liktzor, if the minig, if the expression or the common practice is to do the Ketzira method, Eino Rashoi Lakor, then there is no permission to change from that. Of course, I guess it's obvious that if there's mutual agreement to change, then certainly they can alter, they can deviate from the accepted practice. But we're talking about a case where one party wants to continue with the common practice and the other party wants to change. So now, hi, Omar. We speak about, under the heading of Liktzor, if the common practice is to do the Ketzira method, so there cannot be the other party wanting to change to the uprooting method. Example. Hi, Omar. Here you would have the owner claiming Bo'ino de Titvan Liaroi. Now, we're going to see here, these numbers 1 and 2 are two reasons why not to do the uprooting method. So in example number 1, the owner would be claiming, I don't want you to uproot. Now the common practice is Liktzor, and I insist on your doing the Liktzor method, cutting above surface and leaving roots in the ground. Why? Because I want Bo'ino de Titvan, notice the word Tevan, but that has to, there's a discussion about this particular use. The Tosis we alluded to earlier, he addresses this, because the technical word for leaving roots in the ground would be the word kash. Nevertheless, let that not be a source of confusion. The owner is saying, I want the titfan liaroi, means I want the bottom part, the roots of the grain of the plant to remain in the ground. That's this idea of titvan. So based on that, the owner is in the right, because the minig was in fact for that to be the case. The Rashi adds, by the way, that the remaining of the plant roots in the ground eventually will serve as fertilizer. V'hai Omar, now this is a second example where the worker will be insistent on ktsira and not doing the akira method. V'hayomar lo motzino. It's, I can't, in other words, it's too hard for me to do the uprooting. Therefore, I insist on the ktsira method. Now, I'm reading this Gemara rather slowly because for those of you that are, let's say, somewhat, let's say, familiar or fluent in Gemara reading, you could easily have misread this and simply think that there are two parties arguing against each other, where high Omar this and high Omar that. That's not the pshat here. That's not the case. But it's two separate situations where, as we explained, the number one is where the owner of the land is insisting on the ktsira taking place. And number two is where the worker is insisting on the ktsira method. Of course, those who learn Rashi, this will become quite clear. Let's continue. Now we go to Beis. This is a quote from above. La'akor eino rashoi liktsar. If the common practice is the akira method, so you cannot deviate for the to do the ktsira. What are the claims of each? What are the potential claims of each party in insisting on akira? So here, the similar structure to what we saw above. Hi, Omar. Here is where the owner will claim why he wants akira and not the ktsira. Bo'ino de tinokir aroi. I want my field cleaned out. So I want you to uproot it. And Rashi adds, it's a field that doesn't need fertilizing. So I want you to uproot it. I want the tinokir aroi, clean my field to be cleaned out. V'hai Omar, again, this is a separate situation. This is where the worker would be insisting why he wants to do the akira, because bo'ino tivna, he's saying, I want the bottom part of the plant for my animals. And therefore, as far as I am concerned, I cannot accept the situation where the bottom would remain in the ground when I want that for my animals. So therefore, you see the worker insisting on why he would want to uproot. And now we quote from the source above. We have a little star we added to the side so you can align it with the star above. From the Tanaic source, from the Bryce above, Shneim Akfim Zal Zeh Lomali. This added phrase, what does it come to elucidate or to inform us of that which we don't already know? We already said that, we said in the source, Eino Rashoi, that the other party cannot change. So this would seem to be just a restatement of that. So the Gemara says, Ma Tam Komar. The understanding is that the final phrase is an explanation of that which preceded it, as follows. Matam, what is the reason? Liktzoreno Rashoi Lakor, if the practice is to do the Ktsira method, you can't deviate to the Akira method, or Lakoreno Rashoi Liktzor. Mishum, the Shnei Makvin Zalze, because both can insist, can restrict the other. Rashi simply adds here, Mishum Deshnei Makfin Klomar, Mipnei Sheshneim, each one, Yeshlam Taina Lekan Lekan, each one has a reason, has an explanation for why he is insisting on continuing with the common practice. As we look ahead in the Gemara, here we of course have a quote from the Mishnah, Lachrosh Achrov, Yachrosh, if the common practice is to do a post-harvest plowing, then the worker must do that in conforming to the common practice. On the side, we have, in anticipation of the markings, we have triangles, and later you'll see the use of the double underline, one of our series markings as well. And under the Nosei / Mivneh heading, we've written the following. The triangles represent dugmos, they introduce examples, shel elu, she mishanim min hanohug, those who deviate from the common practice, in tzipios misuyomos, with certain expectations. Hagmor kovas, dichdei lemamesh devorim elu, that in order to actualize these things, these deviations, Ibaya le lefushi le, and that you can see will be highlighted with a double underline, that it would have been expected to specify these explicitly at the outset. And in the absence of that, so you can't deviate. In each case, you'll see the Gemara, the triangle highlights the word, we didn't mention this earlier, but you could see it highlights the word pshita, meaning that which the Mishnah teaches superficially seems to be obvious. Why then bother teaching the obvious? The Gemara will go through the different examples. Now the Gemara, pshita, is it not obvious that if the common practice is to do a post-harvest plowing, you are expected to do so? Is it not obvious? Why teach that? Lo. Tzricha, no. It is necessary to be taught. Ba'asra, delo menachshi. Imagine a locale. An asra is a place or a location where the practice was not to do nichush. Menachshi. This is a process whereby fields are weeded, where it's called the bad asavim, bad grasses are pulled out. So the Mishnah is describing a case where the common practice is not to weed the field. V'yazal ihu v'nochish, and this particular worker did that. Mahu detema, one might have thought, Amale, the worker could claim, Haide nachishna adaito delo karivna lo. That which I troubled myself to weed the field was in order to save myself from doing the post-harvest plowing. The karivna means plowing. So I was nachishna, I weeded out with the intent that would save me then from the need for the post-harvest plowing. Let's take a look at the Rashi, just for some added details. Across the mirror, the Ozaliu v'Nochish, and this guy deviated from the common practice, and he went ahead and did Nochish. He weeded the field while the grains were still attached. The grains is pre-harvest weeding of the field. And he uprooted, he removed, he pulled out the undesirable grasses. Elo shela'achar mikan chozru v'godlu bohen k'tas mehen. Just that afterwards, some of them grew again. So that his attempt to weed out wasn't of a permanent nature. And why did he do this? Rashi goes on to lo karivnole, that I would save myself from having to do the later plowing. Shelo echrosh od achra, that I won't have to plow afterwards. Shanichush b'mokom charisha shelachach katsira hi, the weeding was perceived by this worker to be in place of the post-harvest plowing, for the purpose of preventing the regrowth of bad grasses. In other words, what does the post-harvest plowing accomplish? It would accomplish basically the same thing that nichush accomplishes. So I did nichush in order to save me from doing the harisha. Now, we go back to the Gemara. This was all in the mind of the worker. And I say in the mind. That's where it was, just in the mind. Kamash Malon, we're reading back in the Gemara where you see the double underline. The Mishnah informs us, the Iboyele Lefushile, he would have had to specify in explicit terms that, listen, I'm going to weed the field in order that I don't have to plow afterwards. If he didn't do that, he is bound by the practice, the common practice in that area, of plowing after the harvest. Hakol kaminig hamadina. If you recall, when we learned the Mishnah, we pointed out that this phrase seemed to be redundant. The word hakol, everything is like the practice of that locale. Hakol asuye mai. What does that come to include? Lasuye ha de Tan Rabbana comes to include that which we see in the following source. Mokoim shenoagu lahaskir ilonos al gabi karka maskirin. Mokoim shein noagu lahaskir ein maskirin. We translate. In a place where the practice was to rent trees. We speak about trees. We'll talk about fruit trees together with the ground. So that is what is expected. Now let's offer a little more explanation. An oris is hired to come and cultivate a grain field. Within the grain field, there happen to be some fruit trees. Fruit trees, as many of you may realize, certain varieties, many kinds of fruit trees, will produce fruits without much effort. Every year, there's a season for those fruits to come out without not nearly as much effort as necessary for the cultivation of wheat, where you have to plow up and plant every year again and again. The practice referred to here is that if a worker is going to cultivate a grain field and there happen to be trees, fruit trees growing there, which don't require much effort on his part, if the common practice was that the worker would get a share, a percentage of the fruit as well as the harvest, so that is to be understood. In other words, even without a formal, explicit declaration on the part of the owner to the worker, you will be getting a percentage of the fruits. If that was the common practice that in that area, that people who cultivated grain fields with fruit trees growing in them, they would also take a percentage of the fruit, then that is what is done. If that's not the case, if the mokum is she'eino agu la'askir e'maskir, and if the practice was that a person hired to work on a grain field doesn't get a percentage of the fruits, unless, of course, stated otherwise explicitly, so he doesn't get a percentage of the fruits. The Gemara reacts to this source similar to the way we reacted before. There are certain points that are obvious. Mokoim shenoagu lahaskir maskirin pshita. Is that not obvious? Lo. Sricha. No, it's necessary to be taught under the following circumstances. Dekule amo yavi betilsa. Where in that place, everyone, in dealing with their sharecroppers, the division would be one-third, two-thirds. Two-thirds to the worker, one-third to the owner. V'yoz aliyu v'yave beriva. And in this case, in other words, the case that the Tanaic source is referring to is where the owner gave the field to the sharecropper to receive three-quarters, and he, the owner, would get one-quarter. In other words, v'yave is the owner gave it to him, beriva. Riva means a quarter. In exchange for him, the owner receiving one quarter. So that the balabayas, the owner, was offering the sharecropper to receive a greater amount than the others in that locale. In other words, you're once again, in a location where the common practice was a one-third, two-thirds relationship, owner would get one-third. This guy, featured in the Tanaic source, gave his worker more, gave him three-quarters of the harvest, of the grain harvest. And he, the owner, took one-quarter. What about the fruits now? So, ma'u detema, one might have thought that in a case like that, where the owner is willing to take less of the grain harvest, the owner could say, diomale, the owner could say to the worker, hai de batsri loch, that means that which I, batsri means less, that which I took less, giving you more, adaita de lo yahiv na loch beilonis. It was with the intent, again I emphasize with the unstated intention. It was my imagined intention, we'll say, that I wouldn't give you any of the fruits. And I'm giving you more of the grain harvest so that I would get all the fruits. Komash malon, so the source tells us, the iboye le lefushele. The owner would have had to specify that you are not going to get the fruits. So once again, in a locale where the practice was that the sharecropper, in addition to the percentage of grains, he would get a percentage of the fruits. Even in a case where that particular owner is offering his sharecropper more of the harvest than was the standard practice, that's not an excuse for the owner not to give the worker a percentage of the fruits when the practice was for workers to get a percentage of the fruits. So that, just to repeat ourselves, if you have an owner that's willing to give his sharecropper more of the percentage of higher percentage of harvest, with the intention of him, the owner, getting all of the fruits, he would have had to spell that out. And if not, the sharecropper is entitled to the custom of that area to get a percentage of the fruits as well. Malkum shenagu shelo lahaskir ein maskirin. This too is a quote from the source above, and that's why you see the arrows. If the practice was that the worker would not get a percentage of the fruits, so he doesn't get a percentage of the fruits. Pshita, is that not obvious? Lo, tzricha, no, it is not obvious. It needs to be taught under the following circumstances. And I'll bet many of you could actually guess what the Gemara is about to say, but let's read it anyway. Dekulei Alma, where the source needs to be taught in a case where everybody, Mekabli Beriva, where the common practice was to give the owner would get a quarter of the harvest and worker three quarters, V'ozalihu V'kibla Betilsa, and here you have a case where the worker would get not three quarters but two thirds, which is less, and the owner would get one third, which is more than the common amount that owners get. Mahu de tema, one might have thought, Omarle, that the worker could say, listen, you know, I'm giving you more of the percentage than the going rate in this area. Why am I giving you more? Hai de tafoi loch, that which I'm adding to you, that I, the worker, am granting you, the owner, more. Adaita diavisli milonis, with the intention that you would be granting me a share in those fruit trees, in the fruits of those fruit trees. Komash malon, so the source tells us that the worker in an area where the minig, where the practice was, workers do not get from the fruit trees, the boyele lefushile, they would have had to specify, the worker would have had to spell out to the owner, listen, I'm going to give you a higher percentage of the grain harvest in exchange for fruits that all the other workers in this area don't get. Now, if that wasn't spelled out, the worker has to surrender to the common practice of not getting any of the fruits. Kishem shechokin betvua, kachokin betevin ubekash. The Mishnah said that just like the division is of the grains, there is division likewise of the tevin and kash, the grain stalks and grain parts, as we indicated before. You'll notice we have a diamond marking, and on the side we have our Mivnah structural note. The diamond, one of our series marking, indicates Meimro Shur of Yosef, teachings of Rav Yosef, Bechavos Vehatavos, obligations and benefits, Shel Oris Ubalabayas, of a sharecropper and an owner, Ukagon Ma Kol Echot Sorech L'Sapek L'Toivas HaSodeh, and what each one has to provide for the benefit of the field. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Bebovel Nehigu Delo Yahivi Tivno Larisa. In Bovel, the practice was that the worker would not get the tevin. Lamai Nafkamina. What do we have to know this for? The Ika Inish Diyohiv, that if you have someone that actually is giving his worker a portion of the straw, Ayin Yofehu, Velo Gamrino Mine. He is a benevolent, a good-hearted person, but you are not to learn from him. And not to learn from him, meaning don't learn from letter of law. It's very nice to learn from him to be a nice guy and give more than you're expected, but you don't learn from him that is the letter of the law. But understand that in Bavel the practice was workers did not get a share of the straw, And if you see someone who is giving his workers, he's an exception. He happens to be a nice guy. And you don't learn from him that that is what is letter of the law. Omer of Yosef. We have a list of words that we'll have to explain them through the Rashi. So in the meantime, we have three words. Buchro v'tafso v'arkivosa. Now another expression. V'koni d'chizra. The Bala Bias. Immediately we look into Rashi. Across from here, Buchro v'tafso v'arkivosa v'koni d'chizra the Bala Bias. Svivois hasode, around a field, oisin charitz, a ditch was dug. V'noisin he'ofor al ha'metzar, and dirt was placed around the rim of this ditch. L'hagbia svivoisov, to raise the, we'll call it the border. L'achar zman, and after a while, kishe nidash, after it was, nidash literally means trampled or eroded, Choyzerhu u'moysif olav ofor shenis. A second addition of dirt was added. V'chein shlishis, and a third time. So you have this need to repeat the construction of the rim that appears around fields. And I believe that this rim that we're describing essentially represents a clear border demarcation of the field. This repeat effort in the course of time is named Rishon Kori Buchro. The first time it's called by the word Buchro, Vasheni Tafso. That is the word applies to the second one. Loshon Ribui, it indicates increase. Dematfila, you're increasing it. A second time you're doing it. Vashlishi Kori Arkavosa. And the third one is called by that word. And in as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, those efforts must be made by the owner of the field. Another point that was made was Koni Dechizra. What's Koni Dechizra? Around fields, there was also a fence. The fence described would be a fence, in this case, something like a fence with spikes in it. The spikes in the Gemara were a function of growths that had thorns growing from along the length of these different growths, type of vine-like, almost like string-like growth that was thorny. Now, this thorn growth would be woven between upright poles or stakes. These upright poles are what we're referring to here. Koni. Koni refers to reeds or poles. Dechizra. That would eventually support the thorn growths that would form the fence. So now the Gemara continues, V'chizra gufe darisa. The thorn growths themselves, that would have to be provided for by the worker. Klola de milsa, a general rule. Kol ikur bloma de balabayas. That which serves as the basic bloma. Word bloma means in this case, the Rashi says, ikur shmir, the main guarding element without which the field would simply be open to outsiders. That must be provided for by the owner. The tirusi is serta, the additional guarding, de arisa, that is provided for by the worker. The Rashi explains why is that, because this additional security element is actually for his benefit, for the worker's benefit, that he doesn't have to extend himself, strain himself so much with regard to shmira, with regard to the guarding of the field. And You'll notice if you go back to the Rashi, three lines from the top, Rashi meant that the main, one of the main expectations that are unique to the worker, that are apply to him singularly as opposed to a joint effort, is lishmor. And this netirusa yisera is to his benefit, reducing that effort that is exclusively the realm of the worker. We continue in the Gemara. The Omar Rav Yosef, Mora Uzavila Vedavla Vezarnuka Devalabayas. These are different implements used in cultivating fields. A mora might be translated as a hoe. A zavila might be translated as a shovel. Davla, a pail for drawing water. Vizarnuka, another kind of water receptacle. Debalabayas, that must be provided by the owner. Arisa Ovid Beyori, the oris, he digs the ditches. The ditches, now these ditches are, they're narrow channels that will conduct water from a natural water supply from a river. And Rashi describes that they're assuming the presence of a river and a field that's in somewhat off to the distance. He would dig a ditch from that area, the area of the river, till the field, and even if the river level is significantly lower down in the river channel, the worker would draw water from the river and pour it into the ditch that leads up till the river, pour water using the pails and the whatever other devices that are used for drawing water, pour it into these ditches, and the water would flow to the field. So the construction of those ditches is one of the obligations upon the worker. Kishem shechokin b'yayin kachokin b'zmoros uvekonim. The Gemara asks, konim maya viditai, what's the nature of reeds? When you're speaking about a vineyard is a place in which grapevines grow. What are reeds doing there? Omri debei Rabbi Yanai. It was explained by the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai. Konim ha-muchlokin, we're talking about reeds whose bark was peeled off. Shebohen ma'amidim esegafanam. These smooth reeds were used for supporting, elevating the vines, as we indicated when we learned the Mishnah. And the Mishnah went on to say, on the heels of that, let me repeat. The Mishnah mentioned, just like the wine is divided, so too the branches and the support reeds are divided. The Mishnah went on to say that the shneim is sapkines hakonim, that both the worker and the balabayas supply the konim. But lomali, why do I need to be taught both supply the konim when just before that the Mishnah said that when it comes to division they divide amongst themselves the konim? So if they're dividing them amongst themselves, it must be that both had supplied them. So why do you have to tell me again that both supply the konim? Lomali, why need that be taught? So the Gemara says, ma tam ko'omar. We saw this structure earlier. The Mishnah goes on simply to clarify that which had been said earlier. Ma tam shneim chokim bekonim. Why is it that when it comes to division that they divide these support reeds as well? Because both worker and owner had provided them at the outset. The Mishnah. Hamekabel soda mechaveroi, v'hi beis hashlochen ubeis ha'ilon. One who receives a field, and it's an irrigation field, or it's a beis ha'ilon is a fruit field, a tree field. The Rashi adds regarding the beis hashlochin, karka yavesha, it's when we speak about an irrigation field, it's basically a dry area of ground. The lodaya b'mei gshamim, rain is not sufficient for watering it. Umimayim shebo mashkesan, from a internal water supply, a live spring, the field is watered. Oy beis ha'ilan, Rashi says, ubishvil ha'ilan ahu, because there is a fruit tree in the field, chaviva al ha'oris, shenotel chelik b'peres b'loy terach, where he will, where he anticipates getting fruit without much effort. We elaborated on this before, this kind of situation where you have a grain field in which there are trees growing, and the worker anticipates getting a portion of the fruits. And why it's chaviva, why is it so desirous? Because he doesn't have to invest much effort in their production. Let's continue in the Mishnah. So given that a worker received a field that was a beis hashlochin, or a beis ha'ilan, beis hashlochin, once again, it's a field that has within it, because rain is insufficient, it happens to derive its water sustenance from its water supply from a well that's found within the field. Or, and we said, a field that has within it a fruit tree. Now, the Mishnah goes on. Yovash hamayon v'niksas ha'ilan. If the water supply dried up, the fruit tree got cut down. Eino menake lo min chachuro. There is no reduction in the objective amount that the owner is to receive. No reduction from the original agreement. Let us look at Rashi together. Min chakuro. The Rashi we're looking at four lines from the bottom. Im kiblo mimenu b'chakirus b'kach v'kach kurim l'shana. If the original agreement was that the owner would receive such and such fixed amount of produce, the meikora, and we in the Mishnah said that there is no reduction. Why is there no reduction? After all, this worker certainly anticipating the benefit of having an internal water supply or getting benefit from the fruits, and yet, if it dries up or the fruit trees cut down, no reduction. So Rashi explains the meikara, because at the outset, logali daite, there was no explicit revelation of mindset. The mishumayon o ilon tafi la bechakirusa. That's because of the well, or because of the tree, that he was willing to say add to the amount the owner would get. If that wasn't spelled out, then whatever original amount owner was to get remains. He will get it now, even though these fine elements are no longer. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Im Omar Lo Chakor Li Sade Beis Hashlochen Zu. Now there's a problem that arises here, which is not uncommon when learning the Talmud, especially when learning Mishnayos. It's the pronoun problem. In this particular case, the Gemara later on Kuf Dalet Omen Aleph will get involved with a discussion concerning who is the speaker over here. And will, in fact, encounter a disagreement between Shmuel and Ravina in attempting to explain this. So we have if he says to him, work this, and he says, Beis Hashlochin Zu, this irrigation field, or this Beis Ha'ilon. If it was stated in that fashion, then Yova Shamaya v'nixas ilon, if the water supply dries up or the tree fruit tree is cut down, menakelo min chakuro, then the amount paid to the that objective amount that the owner expects to receive is reduced. And Rashi says three lines from the bottom, Chakorli Beis HaShulchan Zu, Goli Daite, there is an explicit revelation, Debeshvil Shehu Beis HaShulchan Tofi La V'Chochro Mimenu. It's because of that, so he was willing to give more and work the field, because he had this, there was that advantage that existed, the internal water supply or the presence of the fruit trees. We now turn to the Gemara. Hechi Domi. What are the circumstances wherein the Mishnah says that if the water supply dries up, there is no reduction in the amount that objective amount that the Balabayas will receive? Hechi Domi. How are we speaking? What are we speaking of? Ilema de Yavash Naro Rabo, that a very large river dried up. Amayeno Menakelo Min Chakuro. Why would there be no reduction in the amount that the worker must provide to the owner? Nemo Lehe, let the worker claim. Makas Medina He. This you'll see is an extensive discussion later on Daf Kufhe, that it's a Makas Medina, a national plague, so to speak. It's a general affliction from heaven that has struck. And the Mishnah says later on that one who received the field to work and cultivate, and all of a sudden some kind of unanticipated force of nature came, causing loss in the entire area. There is a reduction in the amount that the owner will expect to receive. So what are the circumstances of our Mishnah where it describes Yavash HaMayon, the water supply dried up, and the owner is still able to receive the original agreed upon amount? Omar of Papa, the Yavash Nara Zuta, it's a small river dried up. The Omar Le, the owner can claim to the worker, Iboya Loch La Suye Bedavlo. You're now to bring water with pails, meaning draw water from another source. Omar of Papa, Hani Tarti Masnisa Kamaisa. The first two Mishnayas, that's a reference to the Mishnah that was at the beginning of the Perek, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah that we just learned, the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Mishkachas La, literally are found, meaning have applicability, bein b'chachrenusa, bein b'kablenusa. Whether you're dealing with a chakirus arrangement, the objective amount paid to owner, or kablonus, a percentage division between worker and owner. Mikan v'elech, from this point onwards, the perek is characterized by numerous mishnayas, de'isa b'kablenusa, lesa b'chachrenusa, those teachings that have relevance to kablonus, to the percentage division, will not have relevance to the chakirus arrangement. Udi'isa b'chakrenusa, those mishnayas that have relevance to chakirus, lesa b'kablonusa, will not have relevance to the kablonus arrangement. Im omar lo chachor li sada beis ashlochin zeh, if it was specified, you will work this Beis HaShlochin. The Mishnah went on to say, if the water supply dried out, then the owner is the amount, the objective amount the owner would receive, or the percentage that the owner would receive, is reduced. Now, you'll notice we have a long question marking. And following that, you'll see a volcano shape that appears. Shmuel is highlighted, and then later Ravina. The Gemara asks, "Ve'amai, why is it such that the owner is going to receive a reduced amount from the worker? Le'mole, let the owner say, Shmo bi'amu amri loch." Shma means name. In name only is what I gave you. Milo Tanya, do we not have the following example? Before we go on, just as a maybe just by way of illustration, this concept of name, you can imagine, for those who are familiar, we'll say with the far west of the United States, there are communities that once were and are no longer. I think you'll hear the term ghost town referred to. These are communities where in the 19th century, mining, especially for gold, was popular. And in the course of time, either they found that whatever supply was there dried up or maybe didn't exist in the first place. Those towns' life were rather short-lived. Eventually, nothing is left. And they're, as the name implies, they're ghost towns. They're vacant and abandoned, and nothing grows there. Some bulrushes may roll by, but nothing more exists. Can you imagine a community like that called, we'll call it Green Acres, and someone owns one of those towns and goes, approaches a real estate investor and says, I've got this wonderful community called Green Acres, and they agree on the sale, and the purchaser visits the place and it's totally abandoned. Well, where's the green? Maybe they're acres, but where's the green? Nevertheless, the sale is a good sale because the owner can say, I was selling you something in name. That's what the place is called. Maybe in the distant past that had actual meaning to it, but right now that's what it's called. Okay, that is just by way of general illustration of the concept of Shmuel Balma. I'm not claiming that that's what the Gemara is going to describe, but as far as appreciating this idea of I'm selling you something that exists only in name is something that is a legal reality. And now let's see the source. Mi lo tanya, do we not have the following? Hoimer lechaveru, base kur ofor ani mocher loch. I'm selling you a base kur of ofor. The word ofor literally means dirt. We can say it's a reference to a field. I'm selling you a base kur of field. Base kur is a measure, a particular specific measure. And that's what the seller claims. Afal pi shein bo elo lesech. Even if it turns out that it's only a lesech is half a kur. Higio, the sale goes through. It's a binding sale. Shalom ochalo elo shmo. He sold him only something that exists in name. V'hu de mystery base kur, provided that it's called that. People call that area base kur. Kroma ani mochelach. Man says, I'm selling you a kroma. Kroma is a kerem. A kerem is a vineyard. Afal pi shein bo gifanim. Even if the parcel of land turns out to have no vines in it, Higia, the sale goes through. Shalom ochalo elo shmo. He sold him only something in name. V'hu de mystery kroma, provided people call it by that. They call it kroma. Can you imagine there's a town in New Jersey called Vineland? Does that mean that when you buy something in Vineland, you expect to have vines there? No, but it's called Vineland. Pardes ani moicher loch. Man says, I'm selling you an orchard. Afal pi shein bo rimonim, even if there are no pomegranates. Higio, the sale goes through. Shelo mochalo elo shmo. He can claim, I sold you something that exists only in name. Vehu de miskri pardes, provided people call it by that. Almo, Amarle, we see from here that a person can say, Shmo bi almo amri loch. I sold you something that is such only in name. Hachanami, so too, name ole, why not in our Mishnah, when someone says, Beis Hashlochen Zeh, I'm selling you this Beis Hashlochen, even if it turns out that there's no water supply, Shmo mi amo amri loch, I sold you something in name. And yet the Mishnah says that in the worker-owner arrangement, if it turns out that the water supply doesn't exist, if it dries up, that does make a difference. And it's not just an issue of something in name. Omar Shmuel, Lo Kashya. Rashi says there's no contradiction between this Tanaic source from Bava Basra, where we see that that which exists in name is an end in itself, it's a reality, versus our Mishnah, which says that the claim of in name is not reckoned with. It depends on who the speaker is. Ha diyamale machkir lechoyker, ha diyamale choyker lemachkir. If you recall, just a few minutes ago, we spoke about the pronoun problem in the Mishnah. So Shmuel deals with that, and it says it depends on who the speaker is. Omar, and here the Gemara explains itself. Omar le machkir lechoyker. If the owner is speaking to the worker and he says, Beis hashlochin ze ani moicher loch, or ani a machkir loch, then Shmo bi'amo omarle. He's speaking in terms of name alone. However, omarle choicher le machkir, if the worker is the one speaking and says, I will work this beis hashlochin, then kepeda, then it becomes something that he is makpid, non-compromising about. Ravina Omar. Ravina has a different take on things than Shmuel. Edividi diomalei machkir lechoker. In both cases, it's the owner speaking to the worker, or the owner speaking to the seller, to the buyer. Midaka Omar ze. In our Mishnah, the word zeh was added. He said, Beis hashlochin zeh. From the fact that that was a part of the speech, this Beis hashlochin, Michlal dekoi begavo askinon, it must be that they're standing there, they're standing in the field. Beis hashlochin loma leila meima. Why does he have to add the word Beis hashlochin? Is it not obvious that they're standing in the Beis hashlochin? So what's the point of saying Beis Hashlochin if they're standing in the field? The answer is, the owner was speaking to the worker and saying, Beis Hashlochin kidekai mohashto. This field as it is right now with the water supply. And therefore, if the water supply dries up, the worker can tell the owner, I'm giving you less. The worker is entitled to reduce the amount that he is paying the owner. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.